Morning, Tamidim. I want to start off. It's a tremendous covet for me to be able to welcome my Chashuva father that's joining us here today. Came for Shabbos, came to visit the Mishpacha. It's a tremendous covet for us. I really appreciate making the trip out here. We should always come for Simchas and Achas. We should be able to enjoy the Simchas and Achas. We should always be able to share with not only our family, but Gantz Klal Yisrael, to be able to share in Achas together. This past week, one day, I don't remember which day this week, my second grade daughter came home from school, and after settling down, sitting down at the supper table, she asked, "Tati, can I play a trick on you?" So I said, "Sure." I always enjoy a creative game, a creative trick. So she starts off and she says, "Are you going to remember me in 2 years?" So I looked at her. It's good that she told me beforehand that it's a trick. And I say, "Sure. Are you going to remember me next year?" I said, "Sure." "Are you going to remember me next week?" I said, "Sure." And then she goes, "Knock, knock." And I ask, "Who's there?" And she says, "Oh, already you forgot me? Already you forgot who I am?" And we put a smile. It's a good one. Haven't heard this one before. And I asked her, "Well, she heard it. She heard it in school." But later that evening, I'm thinking to myself, I want to think a bit deeper into that joke. Are you going to remember me in 2 years? Are you going to remember me in 1 year? Are you going to remember me next week? Knock, knock. Already you forgot. And I'm thinking, and again, the style that I usually like is something that gives me chizuk. I like to repeat it to the Talmidim, because perhaps someone else can get chizuk out of it as well. I like to share. And I'm thinking to myself, it's less than a week after Shavuos. She came home with this joke, it was less than a week after Shavuos. And I know that during Shavuos, we were sitting and davening, Avinu Avrachman Amarachim Rachim Aleinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please have Rachmanas. I want to be able to appreciate learning. I want to be able to understand the learning. I want to have a geschmack in the learning. I want it to come easily to me. It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be a burden. I should have a cheshkes HaTorah. We were all davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Shavuos. Please give us that geschmack, that lebedekeit of learning. And then we stayed up all night long. And I'm sure many people stayed up at night and they were sitting and learning. And they had chavruses. Avada, they needed something in between to keep them going. Some mezainis, some shahakos, some whatever else. But it was all, the all purpose was just for the learning, that the learning should be ingrained in us. Will you remember me in 2 years? Will you remember me in a year? Knock, knock. I'm thinking to myself, it's less than a week after Shavuos. Where is that inspiration? Where is that, those tefillas, those tears that went out? It's called the Resamater Sechobiahava. Where is that? It's less than a week. Knock, knock. Who's there? Who still has that inspiration? And how do we keep that? How do we maintain that inspiration to continue going, to continue moving along? That ahava, that tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please make me enjoy the learning. When we say it every day by davening, it should have the same connection as we had it during Shavuos. So that was a thought that came to me right after I heard that joke. Yesterday, Rabbi Cohen, the English principal, did a project with the 7th and 8th graders. It had to do with writing a mission statement. Now this topic is a topic which is quite passionate with the concept of a mission statement. And I want to talk about it quickly. Almost every company, before they start planning how they're going to be making business, they write a mission statement. What do we stand for? What does a company want to do? What do we do and what don't we do? In order to be true to the company, to make sure that you can make a proper business plan, you have to know that your business plan makes sense. Your mission statement makes sense. Once you start veering off and moving from one thing to another thing, then the company's not a stable company. Not recently, UPS announced, and we know that UPS is a very large company, United Parcel Services, they're a very large company that does shipping. They had a $10 billion contract with Amazon. UPS had a $10 billion contract with Amazon, which means that they partnered with Amazon, that they would do the deliveries, their employees there, and that was one of Amazon's delivery companies. Now, those that deal with large companies, these big companies, know that the big companies, they sometimes dictate, since they're so powerful, they're so big. If you want to sell a product to Walmart, for example, Walmart will dictate exactly what yes, what not, how much you're going to pay. I'm not paying a penny more than this. And the one that's the manufacturer wants to get Walmart as their customer, so they'll play along with whatever Walmart wants. They'll play along with them. UPS realized that Amazon was shtickling, playing with them here, there, and I don't know all the details of it, but it meant that UPS will have to shift from their mission statement. They're going to have to do something differently. That's not who UPS was. And they told Amazon, we're canceling that contract. You want to run your business the way you want, Amazon? Have no problem with it. But we are not going to shift from our mission statement. So we're walking away from a $10 billion contract because we will not shift from who we are. We will not shift from what our company stands for because you are giving us a lot of money. Whether it was a loss for UPS or not, I don't know. Could be they'll pick up other customers. But the statement was very, very powerful. We stand for something, and we're not going to move from what we stand for. Because if someone doesn't stand for something, he will fall for everything. You have to take a stand. And how many times do we think about it? Do we have a mission statement for ourselves? Who are we? What do we stand for? What are the things that we will never do? And what are the things that we're always going to take a stand for and say, this is what I do? It takes a lot of machshava. It takes a lot of planning. And I saw a beautiful medrash in this week's parasha about Lois Chesaneiris and talks about the Maisa Menorah, the way Moshe Rabbeinu, Neskasha B'Maisa Menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu had a very difficult time understanding how to make the Menorah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matbei Shalesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a Menorah Shalesh, and Matbei Shalesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a few ways how to make the Menorah. And for some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu, Neskasha, he had a hard time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bezalel, now Bezalel is going to make the Menorah. And they asked Bezalel. Bezalel made the Menorah without any hardships. He just made the Menorah. So the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalishus Hadas. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm having such a hard time understanding how to make the Menorah. And hey, tell Bezalel, and within a second, he has no problem making the Menorah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's why, because Bezalel came, he stands in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands in the shadow of Bezalel, and together they made the Menorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt better, okay. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with Bezalel that made the Menorah. So the Heilige Emma says, for years, I had a very difficult time understanding this Medrash. I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He couldn't figure out HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with him, and they couldn't make the Menorah. It had to come from Bezalel. So there was a story that happened that helped him understand Pshat in that Medrash. The Imre Emes son-in-law needed to go through a difficult procedure, a surgery. And when the Imre Emes went to Warsaw, to visit his son-in-law after the procedure, there were some complications that happened in that surgery. The doctor didn't do something perfect or messed up a little bit. And the doctor felt terrible because of his imperfection. The Imre Emes son-in-law is now struggling and has gone through some complications from the surgery. And he had to face the Imre Emes to talk to the Imre Emes about the surgery. So the doctor goes over to the Imre Emes and he tells him, I want you to understand what happened here. He says, there was once a king that had a very expensive and a rare gem, a stone that was a beautiful, beautiful stone. And it was perfectly shaped and perfectly cut, and it was so rare that you couldn't find another one like it. But it had one piece of dirt inside. He took it to his professionals, and they all said that it's something that could be removed. It's a spot that could be removed. Yet no one wanted to undertake to remove it. They understood the intricacies of this diamond. They understood every nuance of how rare and how expensive such a diamond is, and that it belongs to the king. They were afraid to mess with it, even though they knew that it's something that could be removed. What happens if I make a mistake? What happens if it doesn't go perfect? What happens if I, by mistake, chip it or it gets lost or something? No one wanted to undertake it. Yet the king needed to be cleaned. So one of his advisors told him, take a newcomer to the field. Take someone that doesn't have any experience with diamonds. Someone that just finished maybe schooling. Or someone that just have him do it. And the doctor found someone that they call him a rookie. And he had the rookie take a look at the diamond. And the diamond said, no problem, I can take it out. And no sweat, he removed the spot. He cleaned it out and gave it back to the king. The doctor tells the Halo Gamer Amos, what happened over here? The professionals looked at it and started thinking and thinking and thinking. We appreciate the value of this. We're afraid to touch it. We're afraid what may come out. This rookie didn't understand the value of it. This rookie was just given a job to do, so he did it quickly and no problem, was no sweat. If you understand the value of something, you understand the intricacies of something, you understand the depth of something, it's not just a quick job. You have to do a lot of machshava in order to figure out if you want to undertake it or not. So the doctor to Halo Gamer Amos, this surgery that I did, I do all the time. It's really not a difficult surgery. But once I heard who this person is, I heard that it's the Halo Gamer Amos' son-in-law, I started shivering and trembling. I am going to be doing the surgery on the Halo Gamer Amos' son-in-law. And since I was so nervous, the mistake happened. So the Halo Gamer Amos, wow, I'm getting to understand the Medrash right now. For years I've been learning this Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu understood what the menorah stands for. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that lighting this menorah is the future of light, the future of Torah and Klal Yisrael. Lighting, making this menorah is not only, okay, let me just bang out a piece of gold and make a nice piece of art. It's a menorah that resembles Torah. It's a menorah that's going to keep Klal Yisrael lit throughout the years of Golus, even today. And every year Chanukah we light that menorah again. And every day that we say, we learn about the menorah. The menorah is the light that keeps us going today. When Moshe Rabbeinu was given this task to make the menorah, he was thinking of thousands of years later of what this menorah is going to mean. He had a hard time getting to himself to do it. How am I making this menorah that's for years and years and years is the chrayas of limudat Torah, chrayas of gishmak Torah, of a brand new Yiddishkeit, is going to be coming from the Maisa Menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu makes. So Kosh Baruch says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're thinking all good thoughts. It's true. Let me give it to someone that could. I needed to get it done. So he got Bezalel. Bezalel didn't make all these cheshbonos. He just made the Menorah. You think about this Medrash. You think about this story. So many times we think to ourselves, it's so hard. It's hard. We make cheshbonos. I won't be able to. It is a long day. We spoke yesterday that in the morning may be easier because we still have a lot of koiches. In the afternoon, we may run out of steam. Or whatever it is, we make a lot of cheshbonos in our life. Leave that for the gedolim. Leave the cheshbonos for the gedolim to be made. We have to do ours. We have to be the Bezalel over here. We have to stick to our mission statement. We have to stick to what's the task that's given to us. You were given a task. Do the task. Don't stop making cheshbonos of how hard it may be. What's going to happen if it fails? What's going to happen if it doesn't work out? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Sometimes these concerns come naturally. But one thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu told us over here with Bezalel, you do the task at hand. Just knock out that menorah. Bang out that menorah. That's what I want right now. The cheshbonos leave for the gedolim. Moshe Rabbeinu will make the cheshbonos. Those cheshbonos are needed. All those cheshbonos are needed. But not by Bezalel, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Let your rabbi make the cheshbonos. Let the adults in your life make the cheshbonos, whether it's good, whether it's not good, whether it's possible, it's not possible. You just have to do each task when it comes your way. That's the task that we have to do. And we think back to the concept of a mission statement. If you write a mission statement, this is what I stand for, this is what I do, this is where I want to go in life, this is what type of life I want to lead. And you think about it continuously. You think about it every step you make a judgment. So should I do this or should I not do this? Does this fit my mission statement? Or this does not fit my mission statement? Then we'll have a much easier time knowing what's right and what's wrong and not needing the someone to tell you that you should do this, you shouldn't do that. How come? Shitei shal heves oyle ma'aleo. The lighting the fire was, you light the wick and you light it and it goes by itself. A person doesn't have to be taught every step in the way, what yes, what not. You have to have the basic chinuch, the basic knowledge of what yes and what not. And from there, you should be able to use your mission statement to be tre oile me'aleo. You should be able to figure out on your own and have the koiches of doing what's right and not doing what's not right. With that, I want to be Messiah. Klal Yisrael needs a lot of tefillos right now. I'm sure many of the Talmidim heard that there was an attack yesterday where Eretz Yisrael attacked Iran in order to prevent tremendous harm that could happen. Iran was very close to building bombs, nuclear bombs that could destroy the world. And Eretz Yisrael yesterday attacked all those plants and eliminated some of the head people of Iran, that it shouldn't turn into a chorban, not for Israel, not for the world. Yet Klal Yisrael needs a lot of tefillos. You need tefillos, it shouldn't be retaliation. You need tefillos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to protect Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to protect Eretz Yisrael b'frat. The day before, yesterday, before Eretz Yisrael was going to hit Iran, the Prime Minister in Eretz Yisrael went to the Kaisel to daven. And he left a note, a kvittel, in the Kaisel. Some of his people went to check out what did he write in that note. And he wrote a pasuk in Parshas Balak. And the pasuk reads, Hen am kelavi yokum ucha'ari yisnasa. This young lion will stand up and become a strong old lion. This project is called Project Lion. He took a pasuk from Parshas Balak and wrote a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going into this Project Lion. We need the siyata d'shmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before the Prime Minister of Eretz Yisrael allowed this war to start, which started yesterday, he went to the Kaisel to daven and put in a kvittel with a pasuk of reminding Klal Yisrael that we are a lion. At times we may be a young lion, yet at times we have to become that big lion and maybe give a roar and stand up to the top. But the roar doesn't have to mean a physical roar, a loud roar. The roar could be an inner roar. I am willing to stand up and do what's right, even when it's hard, even when it's not popular. Rabbi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the koiches to be able to stand up and do what's right. It comes Sof Shana, it comes the end of the year. Again, we have to put some extra effort. It does get harder, especially now with Klal Yisrael needs our tefillah so much. Klal Yisrael needs our chusim so much. Let the people in Eretz Yisrael do whatever they have to do in order to become that strong lion. Yet at the same time, we have to do what's in our hands to become that strong lion. And it's not through that physical roar. That physical roar, let's leave behind. It's that inner roar where, I will put extra koiches in my davening. I will put extra koiches in my learning. I will put extra koiches in my self-control, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever it is. That young lion is going to turn into a big lion. A strong, powerful one. And I will do even things that are hard, that works with my mission statement, to bring out the best of me and to bring out the best of everyone else. At the same time, that Klal Yisrael needs a lot of tefillos. We're Baruch Hashem in an Asimcha now. The Manal's making chas and her daughter. It's a tremendous, tremendous simcha for the Manal's family, for I think for everybody. When the Manal of the yeshiva is zoichet to bring his daughter under the chuppah, it's something where we all feel a simcha, we all feel part of the simcha. And I was thinking to myself, and I'm still thinking, some things that we can do to take part of the simcha. Actual chasana, Talmidim won't be able to attend. They will be making Sheva Brachas here, so could be a lot of the Talmidim will be able to go give Mazel Tov. But I had a thought, a few thoughts, but one thought I want to share with the Talmidim. Perhaps, from now, until after the simcha, maybe you could all think of something that you want to do in honor of the Manal's chasana. I want to work on my davening. I want to work on my learning. I want to work on my ben adam l'chaveroi. I want to do something in honor of the Manal's chasana. if you could please take a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be done today, within the next few days. And not a ripped piece of paper, a full, nice, clean sheet of paper. And you can write down your first name, your last name, you can write the date. I want to wish a mazel tov to the Manal in honor of the Simcha. In honor of the Simcha, I'm undertaking to learn Ritzifus, to work on my Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, to work on my self-control, to something that you think about. If you don't mind writing that on a piece of paper, I will ask the secretary if she could collect it. I want to make a book out of it. And at the Chasen, at the Sheva Brachas that we're going to be making, I want to present him with that book. It will mean a lot to the Manal if he sees that it's not just a mazel tov wish. It's something that I'm actually doing. I'm starting to roar that inner lion in me. Yes, I want to show a karsatayv. I want to show a simcha. I'm part of the simcha. I want to work on something. And write b'lein edda, because sometimes you know that the yetzer hara kicks in and sometimes you forget. So b'lein edda, I want to work on my retifus, my learning, my esnaigus, my derech eretz, my morning derech eretz, my afternoon derech eretz, whenever it is. So if you could write that piece of paper with your name and give it to the secretary, we'll try to make a nice book out of it, depending on how many pages we get, and we'll present it, mentioned by the Sheva Brachas. But there's one more thing that I want to mention. As I said yesterday, we had Robert Cohen, our English principal, present in the 7th and 8th grade. And I thought to myself, Robert Cohen's position, Robert Cohen's job, is a very difficult one. It's very difficult. He takes his job very, very seriously, and there isn't a lot of reward coming his way. It's not that, like I said, it could be because it's the afternoon, it could be it's because of the teachers, there are a lot of things that could be. But I don't think that he feels appreciated, not personally, that the whole department feels appreciated. And again, it gets hard for the Talmidim, and I know that. And yesterday he put together this mission statement, he put a lot of work into it. In the entire year, he puts his koyach and moyach, and he takes the job extremely, extremely seriously. Yet the reward for it almost feels like peace on the Ramses. You work, and you work, and you work, and you work, and you don't get any appreciation. So especially for the older Talmidim, that for the 8th grade, I think, I'm not sure if Tuesday's going to be the last day, whatever the last day, there isn't going to be a lot more of English. There isn't going to be a lot more days of English. Next week is going to be, I think, the last few days of English. It would be beautiful if the Talmidim, not as a choir, but separately, whenever you see Rabbi Kahn, just give him a thank you. Thank you for the hard work that you put into the system. Thank you for the hard work that you put into the department. It will be so meaningful. It will mean so much to him. Because he does. He puts a tremendous amount of work, and as I said, doesn't get to see much appreciation. And you see the amount of patience that he has with every boy, even when they have a hard time. And even if he has to give an accountability, it comes after trying so many times, and it comes with a smile. It comes with wanting to help. Wanting to support every Talmud. I don't think we've treated him with the proper respect and the proper derecherets and the proper hakaras hatov that we should. So at least, from now until English is over, yes, a verbal message, but more than a verbal message, put extra self-control the last few days of English. Let him look, walk the hallways and see, wow, you know what, they're ending on a good note. Look at that. Even though it's the end of the school year, it could be more hafkeris, it could be more looseness. But let's remember that roaring lion within us. We will put that effort to a silent roar, yet a powerful message that we appreciate the work that you put into it, and we will add self-control and make sure you write on the piece of paper so that we can put that book together and give it to the Manal, cover the Simcha.